This message, The People of the Spirit Sing, was preached by Dr. T. Crichton Mitchell. The scriptural background for the message is Ephesians 5, 15 through 21, and Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Mitchell was born in Scotland in 1916. He pastored churches of the Nazarene in the British Isles for 20 years, and later he served on the faculty at Herlet Nazarene College in Scotland, European Nazarene Bible College, and Nazarene Bible College at Colorado Springs. He was a lifelong student of John and Charles Wesley. This sermon is a fine example of how a theme can be traced throughout all of Scripture in one sermon.
God's people are a praising and singing people, and have been since the beginning. A spirit-filled person is, by definition, a person amazed. He is amazed at God, amazed at the love of God, amazed at the grace of God, amazed at himself, that God should love a sinner such as I, amazed at the possibilities of God's grace, amazed at the potential of it. A Christian is, by definition, a man amazed. They say that Oliver Wendell Holmes once undertook to write the history of two worlds without using a word. And when pressed, he drew a line across the paper. Above the line, he put an exclamation mark, a hatpin, as my teacher used to call it. Under the line, he put a question mark, a button hook, as she was pleased to call it, explaining that in the world above, everything is wonder and love and praise, but that here on the earth, we move in an area beset with problems and with all sorts of tensions, all sorts of questions that come to our mind. It sounded good, but it's just plain stupid. The truth of the matter is that you need, if you are a spirit-filled Christian, you need an exclamation mark above the line and under the line. Because a Christian, by definition, is a man amazed. Philip Doddridge taught us to sing Grace. 'Tis a charming sound. And then along came Isaac Watts. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And hard on his heels, there came Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley singing, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? And he's hardly gone home above the line until along comes John Newton. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A Christian is, by definition, a man amazed. Music is the language of the spirit in the heart. Paul proves it and demonstrates it on so many occasions and in so many ways that take forever to tell about. Go read Romans chapter 5 sometime and put an exclamation mark in every time one is called for, and you'll be surprised. You'll easily find the verses. They usually begin, and not only so, but. And not only so, but. And when he comes to the end of his great argument in Romans chapter 11, it's the same. Oh, the depth of the wisdom of the grace of God. And he goes on down through three verses of it. And all through his epistles, there are quotations of hymns that were actually sung in the early church. Now that's typical of the spiritual life. It's no wonder at all to us that we should be called to be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, Spirit and Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now that's in line with how God does things. Each of the redemptive works of God in time has been accompanied with singing. And as far as I can see, it extends into eternity also, if I go by the book of the Revelation, which has more songs in it than any other book of the Bible, excepting the Psalms of David. This is because the eternal spirit, the creator spirit, the spirit of God, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of grace, the spirit of holiness, is the divine maestro of creation and redemption and experience. Just to read your Bible with that thought in mind is to see it everywhere. When you move into real hard human history and begin, let's say, not with Genesis, for unless we stay all night, we skip half the books of the Bible. In Exodus, for example, Moses you know about, I presume. We know about him as a soldier. We know about him as a lawgiver. We know about him as a university graduate from Hierapolis, the city of the sun. We know about him as a great leader of the people. But have you ever stopped to consider Moses as a songwriter and a song director? For he certainly was. There are at least two of his long songs in the scripture, one in Exodus and one in the Psalms. And you know how it happened, that first song of his in Exodus. The Lord brought them out with a high hand, says Moses, brought them out of Egypt and led them straight into a predicament. In front of them was the sea, the mountains, the desert, and the oncoming hordes of the Egyptians. Quite a spot to be in. And Moses reasoned that this is a great time to pray. And he started in to pray, and the Lord stopped him. He said, there is a time to pray, and there is a time not to pray, and this is the time not to pray. Wherefore speakest thou to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. The last order stands. So they did a smart thing. They put the preachers first, right along, and gave the command, forward march. And the moment that the first priest touched where water ought to have been, there water was not. And they passed by through shod, dry shod, to the other side with the great crystal walls on either side. The Egyptians said, anything they can do, we can do better. And then they went. The Egyptians, as saying to do so, were drowned. And on the farther shore of the Red Sea, Moses turned songwriter, Miriam turned music director, and here they are with their great song going on in the book of the Exodus. The chorus we can remember easily. The horseman and his rider hast thou overthrown in the sea. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And it goes on like that, book by book, down through the Psalms of David. David maintained, he put a new song in my heart. Many shall see it and turn to the Lord. He looked up. He was brought up. He was cleaned up from the miry clay. He was set up upon a rock and he was tuned up. He had put a new song in my mouth. And all through the prophets, it just goes on like that. Prophet after prophet. Isaiah has many a song. For he says, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion. Well, that's pretty tame, but it's not what he said. The ransomed of the Lord shall come with singing unto Zion, and shall obtain joy and gladness. Even in the dark days, that maestro was there, sometimes pitching the music in a minor key, somewhat diminished to match the human need, but always inspiring. And always full of faith and hope. Then there was a long pause, 400 years or so, and it seemed like the music had stopped. And then suddenly into the panorama of human history stepped the divine maestro again, gently touching the flesh and the soul of a pure, unspotted virgin. Just as he had moved on the primeval waters and brought forth life, now, once again, in the greatest and mightiest deed that even he had ever done, He said, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. And Mary sang, how Mary sang, tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord, who hath taken his handmaiden and set her on high. She buzzed off to tell Elizabeth, and how Elizabeth sang. She got into it too. She told her husband, who had been dumb for ages, but he started to sing. And down in the temple there was Anna. I don't know how old she was. It only said she had been a widow for 80 years. That gives her a year or two. 80 years. And she started to sing. And there was an old man there, Simeon by name, who fairly scooped up the baby in his arms, and he started to sing. That baby said everybody singing wherever he went. And that's what he's been up to ever since, setting people singing. And in the fullness and power of that divine maestro, Jesus lived and taught and worked. He put music into dreary lives and set weary ones a-singing. His most frequently used phrase, 4 times in one gospel alone. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Let not your heart be troubled. My peace give I unto you. I will give you rest. And even when the powers of darkness close in on him like a throttling ring, it says, when they had sung an hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Again, you have a brief pause, kind of silent beat in there. And as someone has said, there is no music in the silent beat, but there's lots of music in the making in a silent beat. And so it was here. And the music burst out again in God's mightiest octave, or 8 notes, the mightiest octave in the book of God. He is not here, he is risen. And by this mighty deed, the divine master created the singing church. All the songs of the Spirit in the New Testament are songs of resurrection. They are Pentecostal songs. They are ascension songs. And they sing them everywhere. Everywhere you can think about. They break into church board meetings with singing. Fancy that now. They sing in strange places. They sing in jails. They sing in sand quarries. They sing in worship. They sing in evangelism. They are constantly praising God and having favor with all the people. The mighty acts of God in time are accompanied by singing. And again, that Spirit's baton has roused the church and revived the church and reformed the church. And there's that so very strange man, Martin Luther, who will sing and play his lute or his flute and take 4 melodies and wind them all together and make a wonderful hymn for us. A safe stronghold our God is still, a bulwark never failing. And along comes a Bach in the Protestant church to set the whole thing to wonderful music. And a Paul Gerhardt among the Lutherans to give us wings of poetry. And if there's John Wesley and George Whitefield, there will soon be Charles Wesley. And if there's a Moody, there will be a Sankey. And if there's a Billy Graham, there will be a Cliff Barrows and a Bev Shee. And when Brzee comes along, Lilliness won't be far behind him. Everything that God does, he does to music. It's a wonderful old story in the Gospel according to Mark, but old Legion. A man who was not so much a personality as he was a civil war. My name is Legion, for we are many. He was a problem to himself. Sin had done that. He was bound and he was banished. Society had done that. It was the best they could do. It was their ancient equivalent for a padded cell. But the Savior found him. And see what the Savior did for him. He found him a madman, and he turned him into a missionary. By one touch and one word, sent him way up home to tell everybody what great things the Lord has done for you. Last seen vanishing into the area of the 10 cities up to Kephala's way, and still telling people what great things the Lord had done. From absolute discordancy to beautiful, flowing, smoothing, singing music. The Savior did it. Have you ever thought about the keyboard of a piano? All that line of black and white things. The whole of Bach is there. All of Beethoven is there. All of the Beatles are there. The potential is utterly inconceivable. It's on that keyboard. And with the Spirit in our hearts and obedience to the Word, the possibilities of grace are well nigh unimaginable. Which means one or two things for us. It means that I must keep tuned in, be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Discord results from isolation, from independence, from separation. In personal life, I need him if music is to be made. And in church life, we need him if the music is to be good. We must keep tuned in. And we must play our own part. And I must obey the maestro. There are two sides to holiness. There is doctrine and there is experience. The doctrine is the notation of the music. The experience is the music itself. And holiness is a musical way of Christian life. It's a lifestyle. So let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, always and for everything, giving thanks. Amen.